There was an emperor so exceedingly fond of new clothes that he spent all his money and attention on being well-dressed. He didn't care at all about reviewing his soldiers, meeting with other world leaders, or making important decisions about the future of his kingdom. Nor did he care about going to the theater or riding in his carriage, except, of course, to show off his new clothes. He had a coat for every hour of the day. Instead of saying as one might about any other ruler, "The king is in council," here they always said, "The emperor is in his dressing room." In the great city where he lived, life was merry. The townspeople bustled importantly. This was a center of trade, and strangers came to town frequently. Among them, one day there came two mysterious brothers. When asked about their business, they announced they were weavers. And they said they could weave the most magnificent fabrics imaginable. Their colors and patterns, they said, were uncommonly beautiful. However, and at this point they leaned in conspiratorially, these were magic fabrics. These magic fabrics could only be seen by people of exceptional intelligence and moral integrity. And as long as you were smart, and as long as you were righteous, you would be treated to the loveliest sight in the land. But if you were not, well. And here the brothers shook their heads sadly. Alas, those poor saps would see nothing at all. When the emperor heard of these two men and their invisible cloth, he was delighted. "Those would be just the clothes for me," thought the emperor. "If I wore them, I would be able to discover which men in my empire were unfit for their posts, and I could tell the wise men from the fools. Yes, I certainly must get some of that stuff woven for me right away." He summoned the two brothers and paid them a large sum of money to start work at once. The two men set up their looms and began to weave, or at least they seemed to be weaving, though there was nothing that could be seen on the looms. Far into the night, they worked tirelessly on the new clothes. Hearing about this, the whole town became excited. Everyone knew about the cloth's peculiar power, and everyone was impatient to find out which of their neighbors were stupid and corrupt. After a while, the emperor thought, "I wonder how those weavers are coming along." He wanted to see the clothes for himself, but he did feel slightly uncomfortable when he remembered that some people couldn't see the fabric. It couldn't have been that he doubted himself, but just to be on the safe side, he thought he'd better send someone else to see how things were going. "I'll send my old minister," the emperor decided. "He'd be the best one to tell me how the material looks. He's a sensible man, and no one does his duty better." So the old minister went to the room where the two men sat at empty looms. As he entered, his eyes flew open. "Heaven help me," he thought. "I can't see anything at all." But out loud, all he said was, "Are these the clothes for the emperor?" The brothers nodded enthusiastically. One of them asked, "Old father, would you be so kind as to come near? Do you think the emperor will approve of the colors we have chosen?" The minister approached. They pointed to the empty looms, and though the poor old man looked as hard as he dared, he couldn't see anything. Can it be that I am a fool? He thought. Am I unfit to be the minister all these years? I'd have never guessed it. And then he thought, maybe no one needs to know about this. One of the weavers asked him, so what do you think? The minister peered through his spectacles. It's beautiful, it's enchanting, he cried. Such patterns, such a design. I'll be sure to tell the emperor how delighted I am with it. The two brothers smiled. The minister smiled. They smiled together. And then the brothers proceeded to name all the colors. They explained the intricate pattern and the effort and craftsmanship that had gone into creating it. The old minister paid close attention so that he could tell it all to the emperor. There's just one little problem, one of the brothers said, somewhat reluctantly. We appear to be running out of materials. We could use some more silk. What do you think? The minister assured them that their work was of the highest priority. Surely the emperor would be happy to provide them with everything they needed. He left then, and the weavers resumed their work. Time passed. And eventually the emperor became impatient again. So he sent his closest advisor to visit the weavers and see how things were progressing. The advisor was a grave man with a long beard. Upon entering the room, he paused. How strange, he thought. I don't see any clothes at all. I know I'm not stupid. He stared at the looms intently. I must be unworthy of my high office. But then, who isn't? He threw his arms high and solemnly praised the fabrics he did not see, saying, such vivid colors, such gorgeous patterns. Do you really think so? Asked one of the brothers. Do you really think the emperor will like these clothes? My good man, replied the advisor, he would be a fool to throw away such fine garments. And the emperor is no fool. The two brothers smiled. The advisor smiled. They smiled together. You know, said one of the brothers, these are indeed beautiful clothes, but if we just had some more materials, why, we could make this the finest outfit ever made. The other brother sighed. Ah, yes, he said heavily. If only we had some gold thread. The advisor bristled. Talk no more of this supposed scarcity. Why, I'll see to it personally that you receive the best, most expensive threads we have to offer. We are a wealthy kingdom, and your work is of the highest priority. He left then, ordering the servants to bring the brothers anything they asked for. The brothers worked tirelessly through the night, burning 6 candles. They made cuts in the air with huge scissors. They gingerly held the corners of the invisible fabric and inspected their work with furrowed brows. At last they said, now the emperor's clothes are ready. In the morning, the emperor came, and with him were 2 of his most trusted officials, the old minister and the close advisor. Each of the brothers raised an arm, gripping the invisible garment. "Magnificent!" the minister exclaimed.
"Just look, your majesty!" cried the advisor.
And the emperor looked. "What's this?" he thought. "I don't see anything. This is terrible. Am I a fool? Am I unworthy of the crown? Oh no! What should I do?" But all he said was, "It's very pretty. It has my highest approval." And he nodded his approbation at the brothers, who bowed courteously before him. "And now, if your majesty will deign to take off his clothes, we will help you put on your new clothes in front of the mirror." The emperor undressed, and one by one the brothers put on the invisible garments. "These are the trousers," one said. "And here's the coat," said the other. "And here is the mantle." And while they dressed him, the officials murmured their admiration.
"Very becoming.
So suitable.
A magnificent outfit." The brothers took him around the waist and seemed to fasten something as the emperor turned round and round before the looking glass. Then the Minister of Public Processions announced,
"Your Majesty's canopy is waiting outside."
The Emperor hesitated, looking at himself. All he could see was his body, no clothes at all. In a whisper that only shook a little, he said, "It's all so light. It's as light as a spider web. One would almost think one had nothing on."
The brothers blushed and agreed. "Indeed," one of them said vehemently, with what might have been a mischievous grin. "And it really is a remarkable fit, your majesty." So off went the emperor in a procession, under a canopy, out the door and down the street. And everyone in the city, on the ground and from the windows, exclaimed in admiration,
"How fine are the emperor's new clothes!
Don't they suit him perfectly? Such splendor and unspeakable elegance!" The crowds filled the street. Every onlooker craned their neck to get a better look. No costume the emperor had worn before was ever such a complete success. Through the whole town, the emperor marched, feeling prouder and prouder. And as he marched, he fancied he could just barely make out something on him. Perhaps some trousers in navy blue? Maybe just the faintest outline of a bright red coat, if he squinted just right. And he held himself high like the peacock he was, raising his chin and basking in the glory of his wondrous plumage. And as he rounded a corner to cheers and applause, a small voice inquired politely, "Why is he naked?" The words belonged to a boy, and the boy belonged to a mother, and the mother turned three shades of red.
"Don't say such things, child. Look! Can't you see the beautiful outfit?"
She made an odd motion then with her eyes, looking first to the emperor and then at the child, back and forth. The emperor turned very slowly and gazed down at them. The mother began damage control. In a slightly strained manner, she said,
"Won't you join us in praising the emperor's fine costume?"
The boy's lip trembled. But
Then he stomped his foot. But he's naked! That was it. There was a noise in the air, or maybe the absence of a noise, like a deflating balloon. No one was cheering now. A sulky-looking man in the shadow of a doorway looked down guiltily and said, "I don't see nothing." Then a woman in a high voice that was shocked, almost hurt, "Me neither!" Soon everyone was saying they didn't see any clothes, and what was going on, and what happened to the clothes, and they were there a second ago, I swear, and why was the emperor stark naked in the middle of the street? Slowly, with a momentum like a wrecking ball, the laughter began. Everyone was hollering, everyone was whooping and slapping their knees, tears streaming down from their faces. And for the emperor, this was as if someone had reached into his head, rooted around, plucked out his exact worst nightmare, and made it reality. He turned an unhealthy shade of gray and ran back to his castle. I think he's still there now, actually. In the end, there never was any such magic fabric made to turn invisible in the eye of an unworthy beholder. That, I'm sorry to say, was just a convenient fiction. At least, it was convenient for the two brothers, who were never seen again. They very wisely slipped away, for it was a crime to lie to the emperor. However, I am inclined to say that theirs was not a complete deception. Because, you see, their charm really was quite real. It's just that the spell they cast was not on the clothes, but on the people.